Did you happen to ask if anyone else was called?
Did I care?
We have been talking about this mystery of love and its relationship to faith. And so let's start off by going back to Matthew 22. Well, let's start in 34. When the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" And Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." That's a pretty intense statement. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Therefore, there's no room for anything else. We spent a lifetime trying to find love, and many times trying to give love. And it never works. It always denigrates. We talked about marriage yesterday and found out, well, I said that most marriages, in fact, I think all marriages are based on truces. You know what to talk about and what not to talk about. What to say and what not to say, because you don't want the fruit that comes from saying the wrong thing. But you love your children, and they always disappoint. You love sports. You love, you know, pets. You love an infinite number of things. And slowly but surely, you find out that none of those things are worthy of the love, nor give you the love that you were created to have. And so, in short, everything disappoints. And that's what it means to become poor. You're poor when all the things that you have thought you loved, you find out have failed, and then you can hear God. But we try to love God and love other things at the same time. It doesn't happen. It can't happen. Now, this is a pretty controversial statement. Does everybody, by your silence, you agree with it, or you're just not saying anything?
Agree that we should love the Lord?
No, the reason that, no, we can't, we, effectively, we love nothing else. That's what the goal is. And when you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, then you will, its test is in the horizontal end. You will love your neighbor as yourself. In other words, you'll give more importance to that neighbor's need than you give to your own need. Amen? You're doing it, Gary. You're musing.
Well, I'm examining. You know, talking about your kids and your wife and all this and that, which I haven't had. I have a couple.
You what?
I have a few of those, kids and wife, one wife. And sometimes she aggravates me. A lot.
Sometimes, I'm sorry.
Sometimes she aggravates me.
No.
Sometimes. But that's the test of my love for her, is tried in those times. And so I'm examining what I go through in light of what you're saying in those.
Do you understand the thing about how marriage has become truces?
Well, there's respect, and there's a place where you don't say everything that you think. I get some of that. You talk in absolutes, and I don't know that it's absolutely that, but there are some. Not all truces.
I didn't say it was all, but it's the continuance in many times is based on truces, and you don't talk about certain things because you know it'll create a war.
That's true. That is true.
No.
I am in that.
Yeah. This is not an easy saying. The love of the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. There's no room for anything else. And what we have talked about so often is that the idea that you no longer gain sustenance or satisfaction from things in the world is really what this is talking about. And that's when you're poor, and that's when you can hear. That's to whom the gospel is preached, to the poor. First thing Jesus said, his first sermon, his first statement. The second was, you want to be his disciple? Abandon. Get a divorce from yourself. Now, it more than likely, the love of children lasts the longest. I don't know, I've never had any children, but it would seem that would be so. But then, without question, they all disappoint. And sometimes disappoint to the place where you no longer have any relationships with them at all by your choice. Doesn't happen a lot in America, I don't think, but it happens many times in other countries. Ouch. Anyway, that word, and thou shalt love the Lord with all thy heart and soul and mind, is the word agapeo. That means you are giving importance only to God, to nothing else. And as we've talked about many times, that takes a long time for most people before you see that. And so that's the faith of Abraham, as we've talked about. For some, you see it quickly. That's the faith of Isaac. For some, it's a struggle. Everything is a struggle. And that's the faith of Jacob. But all of the, in this context, faith and love are the same thing. Does that compute?
You need to say more there. I believe that. But if you got more to say, I'd like to hear. Faith and love is.
Well. If I say I love God, and give importance to other things, then I'm a liar. Or I'm giving equal importance to God and others. This is why these scriptures are, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Because you're still loving things in the world. And again, you shouldn't try to say you do and don't, but what you should see is that everything works this out. I mean, it's is slowly but seeing, you may love the Cowboys, but maybe not so much after this last game. You may love anything, but it always disappoints. That's the subject that I want to talk about this morning. And that's it. If I love the Lord with all my heart, all my soul, all my mind, there's no room for anything else. That's the whole point of it. That's where faith and love are the same thing. Now the question is, does God love me? He doesn't even see you if you're giving importance to these other things. Let's go to Isaiah 59 a minute. Verse 1 and 2. Behold, everybody there? Behold is a word that when it's seen in the scriptures, it means pay special attention to. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. Your sin has hid his face from you. He doesn't even see you. That's pretty heavy. Now, what we've talked about lately is that the power of God that is manifest in the first century church is based on this very thing, that they were so attuned to the mystery of God that to give importance to anything else, they would rather die than that. And many of them did. They were martyred because they didn't give importance to the things of the world. Now think of the things that we've loved. Sex, women, drugs, alcohol, politics, sports, pets, and on and on and on and on.
A good pillow.
Huh?
A good pillow.
A good pillow. But no matter what it is, it ends up disappointing. If it doesn't, then something is wrong. Because you were created to love only the Lord your God. And if with iniquity, he doesn't even see us. If you believe Isaiah 59, he doesn't see us until we repent. And that's why the preaching of the cross is the power of God, because it produces, or is supposed to produce, repentance. Now let's look at some of the things we've loved. And this agapeo word. Or some of the things that people... One of the first things Jesus said is they love darkness rather than light. Why?
Their deeds are evil.
Hmm?
Their deeds are evil. They don't want to be seen.
Right, they don't want to be seen by anybody.
Yeah.
They love the praise of men. The agapeo, we're going down, all of these are agape. Do any of you love the praise of men? Of course you do. All of us do. Until you come to the end of it. That's why people that are nice, it's very difficult for them to hear this. Because they are nice. They've learned how to create a persona that everybody admires because they're nice people. I think I got out of that very quickly. And there's no merit in either one. But the point is, we love the praise of men, or mankind, or the important man, or important. We love the uppermost seats. What does that mean? Well, if we were a normal church, we would love to have the chair up there sitting next to the pastor.
Like the status.
Yeah.
So we love, this is exactly what it is, we love status, because we are admired by people if we have status. Now, of course, we love the world and things in the world.
So like in some cases, we like to drop names of people we know.
Well, you should never confuse the word agapeo with agape. They're two words that are just translated as love, but they mean totally opposite things. All these things and many others. Let's go one other thing. Let's go to Luke 16. Are you starting to see that maybe love and faith are the same thing? Or are first cousins at least? All right. Verse 15. You are they that justify yourselves before men.
Hold on. You're in
Luke 16? Luke 16, verse 15. Luke 15 says, and he said unto them, you are they which justify yourselves before men. If your Luke 16 verse 15 doesn't say that, you have a problem.
Oh, alright, now it does.
Oh, now it says it.
Alright.
And he said unto them, you are they that which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. Now, it doesn't say it is an abomination. It says it is abomination. And that's the abomination that is prophesied in Daniel. And why is this? It's because you are still outside of the love of God. Your love of God is up there competing with your love of everything else. All right. That which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. And again, if you esteem, just think of what things you give, esteem means give importance to. Esteem, what do you esteem? Money? All the things we just talked about. The things that you have loved in the past. I pray that they're past. But now, if they're not past, then you don't have faith. Because love and faith are the same thing. I feel like I'm talking to the ceiling.
I think this commandment is not something we can achieve or do or work our way into.
No, you can only repent your way into it.
We die, and the life that is planted in us by God is able to love God with all its heart, soul, and mind. And that's where the rest
Well, but it has to be manifest in you, and it can only be manifest in you when you've come to the end of everything else.
That's when you die.
Well, but you're not dead unless you're dead.
How many times you have to die? You die when you die, and then something.
But he, the evil one, has the power to raise himself from the dead.
Yeah, but not to overcome and be you continually. He raises his head to test you.
Well,
but you're not reignited in your old self.
Well, again, he is resurrected from the dead, and that's manifested in your mind.
As a test, as a trial.
As a trial, but it's every aspect of it is manifested in you, just as it was in Christ. So that's you are. You be not conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might put to the test what is that good and perfect and.
The perfect will of God is Jesus Christ in you, the hope of glory.
But again, fully tested. He has to be fully tested in you. That's
before
the point.
Before he is. I mean, he is tested, but you've made it an impossibility. Fully tested means it never ends, and maybe that's true. But
well, if you still esteem things the world esteems, there has to be repentance because it is not manifest. If you love something else if you love anything in the world, then there's only repentance. But you can't repent if you don't believe it. But it's always repentance. It isn't there because, you know, it's just because he says it is. It's there when you go through the same test that he did. You must continue with him in his test, not yours.
So is this your personal experience of, this is what you do all the time, then repent.
Every time I start to use my mind, yes.
So you go from using your mind to blank?
To emptiness before God.
And then nothing happens?
That's his business. It's not mine.
No, it's a question. I'm asking you a personal question.
Well, things happen and sometimes they don't.
So there is activity in the realm of mind, but emptiness means, empty is a word that says nothing's there.
So that's what the word is about be transformed. I mean, put the mind to be in you. It's the word kino, which is void.
But it's emptiness, vacuum, which causes something to fill it. It's a nature abhors the vacuum, is what you're saying. So you empty your mind, something fills it.
The Holy Spirit.
Perfect.
But he will not occupy where you are.
Well, then that's empty. We've agreed that empty means empty, so you're empty. But the Holy Spirit fills that void. Now there's something else in your mind world other than self. For self and me, all that.
Well, there is if there is. If there isn't, it's just, these are the tests that we've talked about to test whether or not that is true. If you're still esteeming the things of the world, then that's not true. That's what the whole New Testament is about, is putting to the test this and the exhortation to repent if you're not this. You can't continue using the evil one. Then you're kidding yourself. You can't continue loving things that are in the world and saying you love God. You're not right. That's why, again, the preaching of the cross produces repentance. That's why it's the power of God. You must bring cast down every one of the seven high places. And you must bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And that's mind-bendingly. It continues. Because the evil one is constantly trying to bring himself back into the picture. That's his job. So it's what you love is the test of whether or not you have faith. You can't have faith because you say you have faith. You have faith by whom you love. Well, that's the one quick statement I'll make. And the word agape, as you know, was a word coined and it's only been used in the Bible. It was no other place in history. Because there was no other place where that kind of love could be real. But it's this whole thing of becoming poor and empty before God that is the goal of having this test take place, where the evil one is constantly trying to bring himself into the picture, and the evil one is you. If you don't believe that, then we've got a whole other problem. But all these things that we study so often are the fruit of the preaching of the cross to bring repentance if your life doesn't add up to what's being said. Throughout the scripture, your mind is evil above all things. That's why the mind of Christ is what we aim for. And that mind of Christ comes when we're sick and tired of everything else.
I'm thinking about Galatians 2:20, where it talks about we live by the faith of Christ. But in this morning, it's like I'm hearing we live by the love of Christ.
Same thing. But Galatians 2:20 says, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. But you can't say that if you're not crucified with him. That means you are dead. If you're dead, then that's fine. Everything else is... But if you're not dead, then these things will... They're meaningless. That's why baptism was supposed to be our burial.
That was an act of God that we were crucified with Christ. He was the last Adam and all that talk.
Right, if he was the last Adam, who are you?
So if that's done and said and a completed thing by God, then it's true, whether I believe it or not.
No, it's not. It's the test is that you will be conformed to that same image. And you can only be conformed by repentance. If you're not meeting the standard, there's repentance that's necessary. Otherwise, you're just using your mind like the rest of the world and you're putting God's name on it. It's the same thing that the churches teach today. And it's just not true.
What do the churches teach?
That you have the mind of Christ, and therefore whatever you think up is from God. I mean, not all the churches teach that, but a large number of them.
But you say we only have the mind of Christ if...
We have the mind of Christ.
If... How does it happen?
By repentance.
You have to do something to get it.
No, you have to see that we're... You have to see clearly and stop loving other things. The end of loving other things is the faith of Christ and the love of God. But there... You got to hear this. It's all your mind, all your soul, and all your life. Love the God.
Yeah,
nothing else. There's no other. There's nothing no longer in. And that's, you know, that's not an easy thing to see. This is the great commandment. All the law and the prophets hang on it. This is why love and faith are the same thing. What?
Oh, that Jesus and his sayings. It's very convicting. I mean, and he meant to convict you with that great commandment.
And so is...
As the Pharisees, anybody who thinks they can do, you know, whatever they thought they could do.
What? But he, no, it's that they were saved by their birthright.
Yeah.
And they still believe it. And that crap has entered into Christianity. And that's what this whole idea of that God is using your mind. No, he's not. The Holy Spirit is convicting us of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin in all the areas that we believe not on him. The purpose of the cross and the preaching of the cross is to show you the areas that you're not believing on him. Where if you're not believing on him, then you're not loving him exclusively. You're loving something else and putting God's name on it. And that's pretty dangerous. That's kind of the worst heresy there is. Because you're sanctifying the evil one then. Or trying to. Now, the only reason for these constant things that I do every morning that I'm here is to cause repentance if they're not meeting that standard. But you can't repent of something you still enjoy. You can't decide you're not going to enjoy it if you have to come to the end of it. But at least you can see that maybe you've been seduced by something that isn't of God. I mean, yeah, I think I've told you, I used to go to every Cowboy game, no matter where it was. Whether it was in Washington or Philadelphia or wherever it was. Because I was a sold-out Cowboy fan. And now I think it's ridiculous. How'd that happen? I don't know. But I know it happened after I... that happened before I became a believer. But in the 60s... I went to every Cowboy game there was. And now I think, what in God's name was I doing? And I esteem the players. Which is just ridiculous. Anyway, it's the same thing. But I want you to consider that love and faith are the same thing. Amen? Take it, big God.